This is just an exercise in, not futility. Everything's an exercise in futility. I want to try a feature out in, iMovie to get it to go, you know, real quick. Past, you know, material that might not be suitable for younger audiences or those with really tender ears in need of safe spaces who are easily triggered by things like everyday living and regular people doing regular things. So I was going to tell a quick story about the donkey show. And so here we go. It was a Tuesday afternoon. Some of the most fucked up things in my life have happened on a Tuesday. I'm not sure why. Maybe there's some, you know, universe, cosmology. Yeah, shit lines up with the stars or the chakras. I got all chakras firing. That makes it on a Tuesday. The thing under the sink with the shrooms. And then this, the trip to Nuevo Laredo, and I should have known right off the bat that something was wrong when my friend loaded me into his 4Runner. I was new to Texas, and he had already lived there, but was moving back after we both worked at the same place. Long story there. He and his girl, I moved with him as the third wheel to get a new start as a young 23-year-old buck who was still young and, ooh, you know, I looked good, yeah. And, you know, he stops at a Citgo station, or Texaco. It really doesn't matter. We just get in the car and we start driving, okay? And he comes out with some Heineken, a six-pack of Heineken, and I'm prepared to switch spots and drive, and he's like, no. And he starts just hammering them back, you know, he's just putting them away. And I'm thinking, about three in, I'm really anxious because I don't like drunk driving, I don't like being a party to it, I don't, you know, and I'm being serious, I really like, I want to be the designated driver, if need be, okay, but he says, no, where we're going is too mind-bending for you to be sober, so, like, you don't want any, okay. And I know where we're going at some point when I see a billboard, and it's in, you know, Spanish there, and there's got, like, a little no sign with the handguns, something, something, blah, blah, hablas, I don't know how to speak Spanish. It said no guns, though. You could tell that's what it said. So long story short, it's actually a relatively easy process to get into Mexico. Even at this time, this is 2005, there's all kinds of shenanigans, tomfoolery, and rapscallionism going on down at the border, but still, it was relatively easy to get in. Coming out was the tricky part. That took some doing. By the end of that, it had been quite a night. So, but anyway, so we get in there, and then I'm pretty mesmerized, you know, by, like, the scenery in Nuevo. It's just that I've never been over the border, and I'm a writer, and I'm young, and my friend Gabe, he speaks fluent Spanish. You could tell he comes here to whore himself out all the time. And he's like, you know, this is really good fodder for your writing. The shit you're going to see is just going to, like, it's going to be mind-bending, just the contrast, you know, just that little bit makes a little bit of space, you know, that between Laredo and Nuevo Laredo. It's really crazy. It's just quite a comparison. And first thing I see, besides just people laying on the ground, you know, like, it's daylight still as we're approaching Boys Town, this, like, little fortified center of the city where you just sin all over the place. There's just sinning going on. It's just people are sinning on themselves, they're sinning on each other, sinning on your car. It's really grotesque situation. Anyway, there's this five-story building with, like, a portrait of Vicente Fox on it, and Gabe says to me, he's like, can you imagine in America if there was a five-story building with just a gigantic painting of George Bush on the side? Crazy. There's no way I could picture that. In hindsight, looking back now, absolutely, there's probably, like, 50 of them of Barack Obama, and they're probably putting up one of Joe Biden, like, literally as we speak. Anyway, so, I don't know, Wuhan, I don't know what it is exactly we're going to do at this point in time. I don't. He just keeps telling me that he's glad he's got a buzz going, and he's like five deep at this point because what we're about to see is going to be some stuff. It's going to be, some. He kept saying mind-bending. I'm like, I'm all anxious and excited, and like, what's this mind-bending shit I'm about to see? What's, So we pull up, we park his 4Runner, and Gabe's like, he's this seedy guy. He speaks fluent Spanish, and he's also prone to bouts of violence, and he's rather large, so I'm not that worried. You know what I'm saying? So we parked the car, and this dude Juan Luis, who looks like little Don Juan DeMarco, like a Mexican Jesus Christ, but a very good-looking one, he comes up to us. He's bilingual, and I'm looking at Gabe. I'm like, "What's this dude doing?" And all of a sudden, he's like, I turn around, and like Juan Luis, we're like talking like we're old friends. You know what I mean? Like just chopping it up. And Gabe's like, "Well, he's bilingual, so And he says this with this dude right there. He's bilingual, so he thinks he has a leg up. He's gonna get paid to be our tour guide, and what the hell? I don't need him, but we'll let him tag along. And surely it was more interesting this way. Well, anyway, so, as we're walking down the street, I'm someone who takes care of kids. I see all these little girls, like, in whorehouses, man. I'm serious, in like little, like, rooms with the door open, standing there just waiting for their next John or whatever. And I just want to throw a blanket around all these kids and just, like, take them back to the States and bring them to a shelter or something, man. Like, I'm not even playing, like, it was sociologically speaking, like it was like a devastating, eye-opening, eye-popping. I mean, not that that shit doesn't happen here, but man, was he right about like the stark difference. So anyway, then there's the main attraction, so to speak, and Gabe is telling me at any given point, like, you're gonna want to have a beer, you're gonna want to get a little bit buzz, but I stop. We have a taco, and it's a real taco with real sauce. So I'm a white boy, whiter than white can possibly be, whiter than white is white is white is white, on the little, their little like whiteness scale that they're using these days. Like I'm super duper code red white, and whatever. Anyway, so I start sweating bullets, and I'm probably flush, and they're all laughing. Put the taco China. The taco's aces, man. It's A1, so like I've got no complaints. Anyway, so then finally we come up on this storefront, this shop front, and there's the donkey tied out front. I'm like, oh look, wildlife. I like, it's so random, like right here in the city. I'm looking around for chickens too. Maybe there's some chickens. Very pastoral scene in the middle of an urban setting. It was very unique, very, I digged what I was seeing. It was really different, man. So then this donkey, though, he's been around the block, and it's this. All I recognize is five, the $5. And Gabe says, "Well, we're a bit early," and he pays the doorman. And we go get seated in there. There's only a few, maybe six, seven other people in there, and most of them are servicemen. We sit down at a table, and this hooker, she's not like underage, but this hooker who had really, it just was, God bless her heart, she was past her prime in every conceivable way. She comes up to me, she starts trying to grind on me, and I'm a young 23-year-old, and she's like 60, and I'm down for some weird stuff, but I was not feeling it. And so I wanted her to go away, but she just wasn't getting it because I didn't speak a lick of Spanish, man. And even my like pretty much like recoiling or then trying to repulse her off me, it just it was just so little, and I was enveloped in her fat, and it just wasn't working. So Gabe plants a big fat kiss on my cheek and says and tells her in Spanish that we're gay. Which was fine with me because I wanted her the fuck off of me at the moment. Believe me, if she had been on you, you would have said anything. I'm secure enough in my manhood, man, and it did the job. So I was grateful to him. Anyway, I still really didn't know what I was in for, man. I thought that was, like, the most horrifying thing I was going to see. So I ordered a Corona for, like, a nickel. It's crazy. Anyway, I was wrong. So I'm leisurely sipping the Corona. And Gabe knows what's coming, so he's just, you know, he's in his headspace. And they bring in this older looking woman, even more unfortunate looking. She had a face like a beat up baseball mitt. Her titties were hanging like super low. Gravitational force was in full effect. And she was probably post-menopause. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. But she was pretty old. Anyway, so she lays on the ground and she has this like pillow under the small of her back and like a little pillow for her neck. And she shoves a banana up her cooter and then like, you know, opens and closes her legs and the banana comes flying out. And I call that the banana split. It went all the way across the room. This shit was dazzling. It was dazzling. And she did it like you could tell she'd done it 65 times that day already or something, you know, not 65, but there was probably like, you know, like an early bird show, like early in the morning, then probably, you know, a show around breakfast time, maybe a brunch show, a lunch showing. You had your early afternoon, your matinees, and now you had your late evening, late night, dirty, filthy, no good, rotten people like somehow me that ended up there. Gabe would not let me look away when they dragged in the donkey. There were two men wearing straw hats. They were wearing overalls as well, hand to God, toothpicks too, and flannel shirts underneath. One man in this exact getup, older, held the front legs. A younger man, perhaps his junior, held the hind legs. And this Miss Banana Split, we'll call her. Well, she got on that big, fat, long donkey dick, which I'm gonna guess I'm sitting probably 10 feet from the soon to commence bestiality, act of interspecial love, or whatever. I'm there. I've got a good view. And this dick is big. But, you know, I mean, she's been around. It's not gonna take much to part the beef curtains. She slides onto that thing like, I mean, like fucking a hot knife through butter, man. I mean, there's just no resistance whatsoever at all. And before you know it, they're going. They got a rhythm. Like, the guy's got to hold dad and son, I'm assuming, or uncle and nephew, you know, is the case a lot. They still have to hold donkey down. But I mean, they really got a rhythm going. You can tell they have a relationship with each other. There's a symbiotic relationship, maybe even a little love there. And much to my surprise, they busted a nut together. So anyway, long story short is after that, Gabe's like, man, you've got to have that tattoo, that image rather, tattooed to the back of your eyelids. And I'm like, you know, for all eternity. So now by the way, I put down like five or six Coronas, and we're walking with Juan Luis. And long story short, a lot of other things happen, yada, 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 cartels, yada, 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 federale, all yada, 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 things, other things. And then we end up so that Gabe can buy some crack cocaine at Juan Luis's house, his apartment. And his apartment is a little cement hole. Like, it's just like a cement enclosure. And then he has a bathroom, which actually is more than I have in this little house here. But he has a bathroom, which is also like a little cement offshoot. Like, it's just a cement without lighting of any real kind. I mean, they have like one little lamp for the whole thing. And it's just like a hole in the ground. You know, so you really have to be careful when you're shitting. I mean, like, all that's all that it is. It's just a shit and piss hole. Anyway, so we get back there as a staging ground, and Gabe pays Juan Luis to go out and get him some crack cocaine because he needs to sober up for the drive home. You know, we've got enough money to bribe the Mexican officials, but that's not going to cut it across the border. So he needs to be, you know, he needs to be on his toes. He needs to have, you know, reflexes like Dale Earnhardt Jr. There, that's not the one that's dead, right? Anyway, he knows he's got to have reflexes. So, long story short is there was a brief threat of him killing Juan Luis in front of his girlfriend, for services not rendered, but that didn't end up coming to fruition. Still not clear whether or not she spoke English. So she may have heard some very fucked up shit, but not on my part. I was just listening, and trying to be a good listener. You know, so then, you know, we wait for a long time in line, going out because of this whole border thing. And there's this young boy, and he's walking up and down the median, and he's got, you know, some Mexican Catholic stuff, and he's trying to sell it. I think this rosary and this picture of the Virgin Mary. You know, he says something to Gabe in Spanish. Gabe says no, scram, blah, blah, blah. Minutes go by. We're like in this line for a while. Kate comes back several times. Let's skip ahead. Blah, blah, blah. Kate comes back. And he's like, he tells Gabe in Spanish that, you know, my dad's going to beat me. He's going to beat me silly. He's going to beat me something fierce. He's going to beat me into oblivion if I don't come home with something. So Gabe gives him like $50 for all the stuff, and the kid's over the moon. And I only know what he said when I was like, man, why'd you buy that stuff finally to get him to go away? That's 50. It's still a lot of money, man. He's like, it's a ton of money to him. And he said that his dad was going to do X, Y, and Z and A, B and all of the alphabet if he went home without selling that stuff, you know. So the 50 probably bought that kid some peace. Anyway, yeah, that was a lot.